The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
With me now, though, in studio, Eoin Ó'Brien, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, and Bernard Durkin is on the line, the Fine Gael TD for Kildare North, to talk about the coronation of Simon Harris as the new Taoiseach. Would that be fair, Bernard?
Well, I'm not so sure you could call it a coronation. Simon Harris has been part and parcel of public life in this country for a long number of years, and he has shown himself, you know, to be experienced, to be sure-footed, to be a hard worker, and to be sincere in listening to the queries put to him, whatever they may come from.
Why do you think he would make a good leader of the country?
Well, I think that he has the ability to listen. And he has the ability to listen and put into operation whatever is expected of him in the shortest possible time, and to recognise, as did the Taoiseach previously, that, you know, we the public, we the backbenchers, the general public, and the party at large expect, you know, a response when a situation arises that requires a response. And there are many of those from time to time, and there will be always issues that come up from time to time that are thorny issues and so on, and have to be dealt with.
So what in his past, his political past, leads you to this conclusion?
Well, his most recent portfolio, which addresses the issues of higher education, higher education requirements, the need for apprentices.
He was only stuck there so he wouldn't heave against Leo.
Well, that's not fair either now. That's not fair.
Not fair on him, I'll agree with you. But it worked out in the end.
Yeah, but you see, he had that in his mind before he was in that particular portfolio. He knew that there was a shortage there, and it was brought to his attention on numerous occasions at the House. And he responded, and I think he did well. He addressed the issue in a forthright way, and he made it clear that he understood what the issue was and that something had to be done, and so he did. And that included student accommodation as well.
Listen, Bernard, stay with us. Eoin Ó'Brien, I mentioned, from Sinn Féin, who is with me in studio. Bernard might reject kind of a coronation, but we certainly don't have a competition. It is a done deal. He is the next Taoiseach.
Well, that's the way it seems, and it is deeply ironic that the politician who was at the epicentre of the collapse of the Fine Gael confidence and supply arrangement is now going to be on a wink and a nod, approved by Fianna Fáil to be the incoming Taoiseach. It was his disastrous record when he was Minister for Health that meant that Fianna Fáil felt they couldn't vote confidence in him at the early stages of 2020 that led to the collapse of that arrangement. And he has done nothing since then to suggest that he will make a good Taoiseach, just in the way that he currently isn't a good Minister for Further and Higher Education. The student accommodation crisis is worse than it has ever been. And he left the health system in a far worse state. And it has continued to get worse since then. And with respect,
is he not to be commended for the time he spent as effectively caretaker health minister, but in the early days of COVID, a lot of people did give him credit for how he managed that.
I think with the benefit of hindsight, people will see that, in fact, it wasn't government ministers who were really making the big decisions then. It was NPHET and public health officials, and there was probably some merit to that. But the truth of the matter is as follows. This really is the first time that a parliamentary party is effectively deciding the Taoiseach. There will be a formal vote in the Dáil, but it's a done deal because of the arrangement between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And therefore, Simon Harris has no mandate to be the Taoiseach. It's up to Fine Gael who they want to choose as their leader, and how they do that is their own business. And why is it being done in this way? Because Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are scared to go to the people. The fact that a third of the parliamentary party are already announced that they're not contesting.
Well, it's been done this way because this is the system we have.
Oh, it's been done this way because Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have decided to do it this way. And there are other ways of doing it within the system. And I'm not disputing the legality or the constitutionality of it. But from a political point of view, it is a very, very shabby deal. A tiny group of people are not only appointing the leader of their party as per the rules of that party, they're appointing the Taoiseach when in fact what we should have is a general election. And if Simon Harris and Bernard Durkin and whatever members of the parliamentary party that are going to stick around and contest the next general election, if they really believe that the people think they're doing a good job, let the people decide who the next Taoiseach will be.
A tiny number of people decided that Mary Lou McDonald should be the leader of Sinn Féin, and only people in her constituency can vote for in the next election. I mean, what you're criticising is the system we have.
No, I'm making a completely different point. Political parties decide their own leader as their rules are, and that's a matter for political parties. But in almost all cases, Bernard, I didn't interrupt you. Have some courtesy, please. In all other circumstances, there is a general election and party leaders who are selected before the general election go out and contest that. And in fact, Fine Gael came third of the three larger parties in the last election, but they managed to cobble together an agreement with Fianna Fáil and the Greens. Yeah. But Simon Harris has no mandate from the people to be the Taoiseach of this state. And he should do the decent thing, as should Bernard, call a general election, put it to the people, ask the people to judge you on your record versus our alternative proposals and let them decide.
Bernard.
And in reply to that?
Yes.
I think that's the most awful rubbish I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of rubbish in my time in Leinster House. And I'm surprised that Owen O'Brien coming along with some kind of cock and bull story like that, making a political excuse to get the upper hand. And it's moved away now from the issue of the result of the referenda. And it's into a different arena. The fact of the matter is this. All the political parties, with the exception of some of the smaller parties, were in favour of the referendums, holding the referendum, and they were seen to be good. All of the political parties, not just Fine Gael, the Greens and Fianna Fáil, all the political parties across the board in Leinster House. It didn't work out on the day. But that doesn't mean to say that all the parties were wrong and that we should go off and have a general election to solve the problem, because that won't solve the problem either. There's an issue. And that was, for some reason that I haven't seen just yet, didn't connect to the extent that they should have with the general voting public. And that caused a bit of a hiccup.
Owen's point, what do you say to Owen's point that, yes, people outside the constituency of the party leader are not voting for him, but in my constituency, Carlow Kilkenny, people can still vote or could vote in the last election for their Fine Gael candidate, be that John Paul Phelan, whoever else, knowing that Leo Varadkar was the party leader and likely to become Taoiseach if they got enough votes. We have a completely situation now. Like in other words, it factors into the decision, and that now is not the case. So go to the polls.
This is a different situation. This is part of a five-year agreement. For 5 years, the governing parties agreed to a term of office of five years. And anybody pulling away from that is obviously going to be a party that nobody will do a deal with at any time in the future, no matter how desperate. And situation is this, that all the parties in government have committed to that and have remained committed to it. And at the whim of Sinn Féin or some other opposition party, they're not going to change their minds. And it wouldn't be proper if they did, because they would find themselves in a very awkward situation. And people would ask the question, what about that agreement that you entered into 5 years ago? Why have you not stood by it? And they would raise questions. And the other question is this. I can't understand how Owen O'Brien, and I like Owen, he's a nice fellow, and he comes up with some very good ideas from time to time, with which I would agree. But I'm beginning to disagree with him now, because he's beginning to wander off into a political haze. And when people do that in politics, it gets dangerous. The fact of the matter is this. Nobody suggests I won't suggest to him that he changes the methodology for electing a leader in Sinn Féin. Nor should I. That's his business. That's his business. And it isn't for me to suggest to him that at some time in the future, at the whim of the opposition, that we'll have a general election now, because only when there's no confidence in the governing parties can you go, or should you go, that route.
Owen, in all likelihood, you're not going to get your general election, and it possibly is pushed out later than it might have happened anyway. Would you accept that reality? A lot of people talked about, you know, autumn this year after the budget. If it is Simon Harris, it will be Simon Harris. I mean, there's a possibility he says, I'm not ready to go in 5-6 months' time. I'll hang on for 9 or 10 months.
Well, first of all, we don't know when the general election is going to be. And there's been quite a lot of speculation, which I won't waste my time on, because I simply don't know the Taoiseach.
No, but it's just interesting that the most vocal advocates for going the full term all the way until, say, early March next year are actually Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan, they have been. And now you could see kind of consensus, couldn't you, across the board?
Well, my read of it is all three government parties are fearful of an election because of where their poll numbers are. And the very fact that Leo Varadkar has resigned in the way he's done has indicated that he felt if he stayed on as leader, Fine Gael would have a particularly bad local and European election, and he would have probably been turfed out of the job by his own party afterwards. So the reason why we're not getting a general election is not because an agreement was reached between the parties and they're going to honour that, because, of course, those agreements have been breached in the past. It is because the parties in government government are scared of the electorate. Why? The housing crisis is getting worse by the day. The health crisis is getting worse by the day. The refugee accommodation crisis is getting worse by the day. And again, if we look at Simon Harris, for example, and look at what's happening with scoliosis, look at what's happening with key medical interventions that he promised to get resolved when he was Minister for Health, and years later, they're even worse. So it is fear of the electorate that has led to this shoddy deal. And just to be clear, I have no interest in saying to Fine Gael how they should elect their leader. That's a matter for them. What I am saying is, in the ordinary course of events, we have a general election, and it's not just we as individual candidates get elected in our constituencies, but parties put up their leader as the person we would like to see as Taoiseach, and that person gets a mandate. And generally speaking, although not in this funny arrangement, the party that comes out with the largest number of seats leads the government. The very fact that Leo Varadkar has left in the way he did seems to me to suggest even he doesn't have confidence in the record of his own party and his own tenure as Taoiseach. And why would he be? A 500% increase in child homelessness since he's been at Cabinet. Is there going to be any change with Simon Harris? No, it's going to be exactly the same failed policies on housing, healthcare, mental health, disabilities, and people will continue to suffer.
Did Leo
Varadkar
effectively vote no confidence in his own government yesterday?
No, he didn't. He. In fact, I think sufficient credit wasn't given by himself to himself in respect of the things that he achieved, and he achieved many. And of course, it's up to the opposition, and they will point out the things that he didn't achieve, but that he still wanted to achieve. And the housing is an issue that was there a number of years ago, and it was an issue 10 years ago, and it was an issue 15 years ago. And no matter who came or went in the same time, and having had the financial crash, we've had COVID, we have Brexit, and all of those issues had to be dealt with either by his predecessor or by Leo himself when he became Taoiseach. There's an issue there, and it is this. It goes on day and night, and he may have felt himself, which I suspected he felt himself, that he had brought the ship of state so far, as far as possible in the circumstances, albeit in the face of great challenges, and he had brought it that far, and he'd used his expertise and his knowledge to bring the ship of state safely to that extent. And he then felt that a new person might be better able to bring it the rest of the way.
We've had ships of state rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic and rats from a sinking ship. I mean, who knew you need to be such a nautical master to hold the reins of power? Bernard Durkin, Fine Gael TD for Kildare North, Ona Brin, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.